Test 1.
Section A. Directions. In this section, you will hear 8 short conversations and 2 long conversations. At the end of each conversation, 1 or more questions will be asked about what was said. Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once. After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center.
11. Excuse me, could you tell me where Dr. Brown's office is?
The doctor's office is on the 5th floor, but the elevator can only go to the 4th. So you'll have to use the stairs to reach there. It's the 7th room on the left.
Question. On which floor is the doctor's office? Twelve. Did you hear about the computer that John bought from Morris?
He got a bargain, didn't he?
Question. What do we learn from the conversation?
Thirteen. Your sister Jane didn't recognize me at first.
I'm not surprised. Why on earth don't you lose some weight?
Question. What does the man suggest the woman do?
Fourteen. Between the 2 houses we saw yesterday, which one do you prefer?
I think the white one is prettier. But the brick one has a bigger yard, so I like it better.
Question. Which house does the woman prefer? 15. It sure is hot today. This must be the hottest summer in years.
Well, it's certainly hotter than last summer. I was out in the sun today, and I think I'm 5 pounds lighter than I was this morning.
Question. What does the woman mean? 16. I heard the student bus was overturned in a traffic accident.
Yes, and what's more, no one on the bus was not injured.
Question. What do we learn from the conversation?
17. Hello, Robert. What are you doing here? Drawing money?
No, I only want to put some money in my deposit account. Not very much, but I'm trying to save.
Question. What is the man doing?
18. Oh, no, I am not lazy. You should have seen my school report. They said I was reliable, industrious, and conscientious.
Well, teachers nowadays expect too little.
Question. What does the woman think of teachers nowadays?
2 you'll hear 2 long conversations. Conversation 1. Though many people want to have a happy family and marriage, few people are able to achieve this goal. As an expert on marriage, how do you see it?
An author once said, "People get so caught up in careers, raising kids, and satisfying their own souls, that they forget that their marriage needs to be fed too."
Could you give us some advice on how to improve a marital relationship?
The first piece of advice for me is to be your spouse's biggest fan.
What do you mean by that?
Let me give you an example. At a dinner party, A man said, "My wife has a great eye for color. She's so artistic."
His wife should be glad to receive this unexpected praise.
Yes, exactly. So words of praise are so important. Unfortunately, most of us are more likely to criticize our spouse in public.
What is the second piece of advice?
Spend some time apart.
You mean that time apart can actually bring you closer together?
Yes. When a hairdresser expressed an interest in cycling, his wife didn't complain. Instead, she agreed to look after the children when he joined the local bike club.
His wife was so great.
Sure. Within a few months, the hairdresser was fitter, happier, and a lot more pleasant to be around. The wife was happier, too.
What is your third piece of advice?
You should try to address the needs of your spouse.
In marriage, they should please each other.
Sure. I have come across a couple. Once, her husband complained about the mess in their home. The wife bought some shelves and did some sorting and organizing. Her husband was very happy.
Thank you for your advice.
My pleasure.
Questions 19 to 22 are based on the conversation you have just heard. 19. What is the topic of this conversation?
According to the man, what are couples inclined to forget?
21. What do we usually do on public occasions?
22. Which of the following will not help improve a marriage? 2. Mary, last week in our history class, our teacher asked us if we knew anything about Thanksgiving Day. We all looked at each other. Nobody could give the answer. So, please tell me something about it, will you?
Oh, it's a long story. I don't think you've got the patience.
Come on, I'm really interested. Is it a national holiday in the United States?
Yes, it's a most truly American holiday. And it's closely connected with the earliest history of the country.
When was it first celebrated?
In 1621, by the English settlers, or pilgrims.
What people were the pilgrims?
They were religious people from England. At that time, they didn't have the right to worship in their own way. They sailed to America on the Mayflower to have freedom of worship.
What happened to them when they got to America?
During their first winter, over half of the settlers died of starvation or epidemics. The survivors began farming, hunting, and fishing, and labored hard.
Did they have a good harvest the first year?
Yes. The yield was rich beyond their expectations. That's why they decided to fix a day to give their thanks to God.
Oh, I see. How do people in the States celebrate it now? And when is it?
The fourth Thursday of November is Thanksgiving Day. It's an occasion of family reunion. The most traditional and favorite food on the dinner table is roast turkey and pumpkin pie. Of course, with lots more to eat.
Okay, you've helped me out. I'd like to treat you to ice cream. Let's get going.
Questions 23 to 25 are based on the conversation you have just heard. 23.
Where and when did the man hear of the Thanksgiving Day for the first time? 24. What people were the pilgrims?
25.
According to the conversation, which of the following statements is not true?
2. Directions. In this section, you will hear three short passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear some questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center.
Passage 1. Bows and arrows are one of man's oldest weapons. They gave early man an effective weapon to kill his enemies. The ordinary bow, or short bow, was used by nearly all early people. This bow had limited power and short range. However, man overcame these faults by learning to track his targets at a close range. The longbow was most likely discovered when someone found out that a 5-foot piece of wood made a better bow than a 3-foot piece. Hundreds of thousands of these bows were made and used for 300 years. However, not one is known to survive today. We believe that a force of about 100 pounds was needed to pull the string all the way back on a long bow. For a long time, the bow was just a bent stick and string. In fact, more changes have taken place in a bow in the past 25 years than in the last 7 centuries. Today, a bow is forceful. It is as exact as a gun. In addition, it requires little strength to draw the string. Modern bows also have precise aiming devices. In indoor contests, perfect scores from 40 yards are common. The invention of the bows itself ranks with discovery of fire and the wheel. It was a great step forward for man.
Questions 26 to 28 are based on the passage you have just heard. 26. Why did man have to track his target at a close range when using a short bow? What does the passage tell us about the longbow? 28. What do we know about modern bows? 2. I first called for a smoke-free 3 years ago. What I meant was a society in which nobody would smoke tobacco in the presence of others without permission. I didn't know then if this dream could be achieved. Seeing what's happened in the past 3 years, I now feel sure it can. In the United States alone, smoking contributes to at least 360,000 deaths each year, equivalent to a crowded jumbo jet crashing every 12 hours. Many Americans realize this and have stopped smoking. But 53 million Americans are still spreading their cigarette smoke in the air and sharing it with us. So how can a smoke-free society be achieved? Well, if you want to join those of us determined to have a smokeless society, here's what you can do. First of all, politely point out the no smoking signs to smokers who ignore them. Move away from people who smoke near you. And demand more laws against smoking in public places. Try to educate your children against smoking by explaining all its disadvantages. Don't let visitors smoke in your home. I've put up no smoking signs in my house. And ask people not to smoke at work, because when all the workplaces in the country are smoke-free, then we're really on the way to becoming a smoke-free society. Questions 29 to 31 are based on the passage you have just heard. 29.
What does the speaker mean by a smoke-free society?
30.
Why have many Americans stopped smoking?
31.
What will help most to achieve a smoke-free society?
3. A small dog brought disaster to a small English town last week. It was trying to cross a busy street, but was too frightened to leave the strip in the middle of the street. A truck driver parked his truck on the side of the road and got out to help it. While he was going to get the dog, his truck rolled down the street. It smashed into 4 parked cars, crashed through a fence, rolled down a bank, and smashed into a row of houses. Only the driver was hurt. The dog bit him on the hand while he was carrying it. Here is another story about dogs. A 9-year-old child who nearly drowned while she was swimming in a home swimming pool was saved by the family dog on Saturday. The child was alone in the large pool at the time. The family of the dog said it would receive an extra-large bone as a reward.
Questions 32 to 35 are based on the passage you have just heard. 32. What happened to the dog that brought disaster to the town? Who was hurt in the disaster? 34. Where did the second story about a dog take place? 35. What would be the reward given to the dog in the second story? 6. Directions. In this section, you will hear a passage 3 times. When the passage is read for the first time, you should listen carefully for its general idea. When the passage is read for the second time, you are required to fill in the blanks numbered from 36 to 43 with the exact words you have just heard. For blanks numbered 44 to 46, you are required to fill in the missing information. For these blanks, you can either use the exact words you have just heard, or write down the main points in your own words. Finally, when the passage is read for the third time, you should check what you have written.
Very high waves are destructive when they strike the land. Fortunately, this seldom happens. One reason is that out at sea, waves moving in one direction almost always run into waves moving in a different direction. The two sets of waves tend to cancel each other out. Another reason is that water is shallower near the shore. As a wave gets closer to land, the shallow bottom helps reduce its strength. But the power of waves striking the shore can still be very great. During a winter gale, waves sometimes strike the shore with a force of 6,000 pounds each square foot. That means a wave 25 feet high and 500 feet along its face may strike the shore with a force of 75 million pounds. Yet the waves, no matter how big or how violent, affect only the surface of the sea. During the most raging storms, the water 100 fathoms, 600 feet, beneath the surface is just as calm as on the day without a breath of wind. Very high waves are destructive when they strike the land. Fortunately, this seldom happens. One reason is that out at sea, waves moving in one direction almost always run into waves moving in a different direction. The two sets of waves tend to cancel each other out. Another reason is that water is shallower near the shore. As a wave gets closer to land, the shallow bottom helps reduce its strength. But the power of waves striking the shore can still be very great. During a winter gale, waves sometimes strike the shore with a force of 6,000 pounds each square foot. That means a wave 25 feet high and 500 feet along its face may strike the shore with a force of 75 million pounds. Yet the waves, no matter how big or how violent, affect only the surface of the sea. During the most raging storms, the water 100 fathoms, 600 feet, beneath the surface is just as calm as on the day without a breath of wind. Very high waves are destructive when they strike the land. Fortunately, this seldom happens. One reason is that out at sea, waves moving in one direction almost always run into waves moving in a different direction. The two sets of waves tend to cancel each other out. Another reason is that water is shallower near the shore. As a wave gets closer to land, the shallow bottom helps reduce its strength. But the power of waves striking the shore can still be very great. During a winter gale, waves sometimes strike the shore with the force of 6,000 pounds each square foot. That means a wave 25 feet high and 500 feet along its face may strike the shore with a force of 75 million pounds. Yet the waves, no matter how big or how violent, affect only the surface of the sea. During the most raging storms, the water 100 fathoms, 600 feet, beneath the surface is just as calm as on the day without a breath of wind.